This podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. Go to howiecarshow.com and click on the store to see our latest great deals on t-shirts, books, and so much more.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
I happen to be taking it. I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine. A couple of weeks ago, started taking it because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories.
Research showing potentially dangerous side effects.
The president appears to be brushing aside those concerns, saying it was his idea to take the drug.
Hydroxychloroquine can cause heart arrhythmias, strokes, and things like that.
No evidence that it works to treat this disease.
It can actually make patients sicker and even more likely to die.
It will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
Well, a new hydroxychloroquine study could have all those experts eating their words. Hydroxychloroquine significantly reduced death rates among sick and hospitalized COVID patients.
Well, how do you like that?
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
The father of Horace Lorenzo Anderson told us that he still hasn't received a call about his son's death from the mayor of Seattle.
I still ain't heard from the mayor. Incredibly, Donald Trump called me. He gave his condolences on this camera. I tell you right now, Donald Trump called me. And he didn't have to call me. He didn't have to do nothing.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Washington Redskins are undergoing a thorough review of their name. In a statement, the team said recent events around the U.S. and feedback from the community prompted the formal review.
I knew this day would come.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I'm going to Mount Rushmore. We're going to have a tremendous evening. It's going to be a fireworks display like few people have seen.
History began on July 4th, 1776. Everything before that was a mistake.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Shooting this afternoon at the South Shore Plaza in Braintree. And they're now saying that the Braintree police are saying the suspect has left the mall. And that the surrounding neighborhoods are being told to shelter in place. I guess they figure this guy's on foot. Seems like a strange way to flee. And the Massachusetts State Police are saying that it's believed to be a targeted shooting, not an active shooter or a terrorist event. So maybe it wasn't they're conflicting stories as there always are in these matters. 844-500-4242. Happy Independence Day. The president will be speaking tonight from Mount Rushmore in South Dakota at around 10 o'clock. He's just going to be the biggest fireworks display ever. I guess he hasn't been paying close attention to what's been going on in his former hometown of New York and most of the large cities of America. There's been a lot of fireworks. They're even talking about increasing the penalties for in the city of Boston for shooting off unlicensed fireworks, which seems kind of odd considering they were kind of looking the other way, a month ago for when there was looting and arson going on, and police were actually being shot at on Tremont Street, and everybody was kind of looking the other way, as you may recall. 844-500-4242. It's been quite a violent time in Boston and the surrounding suburbs. There've been, in the last 48 hours, three people have been shot to death in Boston, including a 15-year-old kid. And a guy was chased down the street in Mattapan, I guess, last night, a 22-year-old. It was a fight. He was killed over a fight over a scooter. 844-500-4242. I have a few cards that one of the listeners from Marlboro sent me. And these are statements that were made by Calvin Coolidge. I read you earlier the statement that Calvin Coolidge made on the 150th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which would be in 1926. And here's another statement that these are excerpts from speeches. They seem appropriate for the 4th of July, for Independence Day. This is from 1922, when he was vice president, speaking on the great Virginians, some of whom are now having their statues torn down, even in the Old Dominion itself. "The world today is filled with a great impatience," said Calvin Coolidge. "Men are disdainful of the things that are and are credulously turning towards those who assert that a change of institutions would somehow bring about an era of perfection. It is not that a change is needed in our Constitution and laws, so much as there is a need of living in accordance with them. It is not our institutions that have failed. It is our execution of them that has failed. There have been criticisms which are merited. There have always been, and there always will be. But the life of the nation is dependent not on criticisms, but on construction. Not on tearing down, but on building up. Not in destroying, but in persevering." I'm telling you, Calvin Coolidge, very underrated. Very underrated. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Howie. Happy 4th of July.
Same to you, Tom.
Yeah, long time listener, going back to the 80s when you were with Jerry Williams and Barbara Anderson, rest in peace, both of them. Hey, you know, what is happening in this country now, which I'm sure your most listeners are aware of, this is cultural Marxism. And if you look on the Black Lives Matter webpage, they clearly state that as far as Western civilization, patriarchy, they more or less just want to get rid of that. And this is part of this whole rethink society movement.
Right. No, we had we've been playing a cut today from a guy named Marcellus Wiley. He's a sports talk show host on ESPN. And he's a 46-year-old black man. And he says they want to, in their own, as you say, their manifesto, they say they want to destroy the nuclear family. And he says, what the hell is that all about? He's trying to create a nuclear family. And he says the absence of a nuclear family has been one of the things that has been setting the black community back so much for the last 50 years. You're absolutely right about that, Tom. Go ahead.
Right. And, you know, I lived in Mission Hill in the 80s in Boston up to the early 90s. And I had the pleasure of having neighbors that were from Cambodia, some people that I knew from Vietnam that went through communism. And one of the things that struck me with the Cambodian family was there were literally children turning in their parents because the Khmer Rouge was telling people that you are part of the state now. The family no longer exists. And if your parents say anything bad, you need to turn them in. And that happened with the Soviet Union. It happened with East Germany. And at some point, you know, we have the American news media is being so irresponsible. Granted, they hate Donald Trump. Fine. But they can't be that stupid to realize that what these people are asking for is an overthrow of this country and its system of government, as well as its economy. We'll all end up being living like they did in East Germany, where you got six families to a floor sharing one common bathroom.
I know you mentioned the Cambodians and the Khmer Rouge. When they took over after, as the Americans pulled out of Vietnam in the mid-70s, they declared that history was starting over again, and they were in year one. And that's sort of what tearing down all these statues is about. And, you know, erasing Western culture, as they call it. Let's play the Marcellus Wiley cut again. He's a talk show host for ESPN. And he was talking about Black Lives Matter. And he's just, he's opposed, by the way, to putting BLM on the NBA floors. Courts on the courts when the season resumes or the new season starts, if there is no completion of this past season. And he's just saying that he's, but Will, I want to play the cut of him talking about trying to trying to raise a nuclear family. Cup four.
I don't know how many people really look into the mission statement of Black Lives Matter, but I did. And when you look into it, there's a couple things that jump out to me. And I'm a black man who's been black and my life has mattered since 1974. And this organization was founded in 2013. I'm proud of you, but I've been fighting this fight for me and for others a lot longer. Two things. My family structure is so vital and important to me. Not only the one I grew up in, but the one I'm trying to create right now. Being a father and a husband, that's my mission in life right now. How do I reconcile that, what I just told you, with this mission statement that says, quote, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement.
And that's suicide for any society. It's like Calvin Coolidge said, you have to have a faith. And you have to have certain standards, and they just want to create anarchy. And anarchy never lasts. Anarchy always leads to a strong man emerging, and call it authoritarianism, totalitarianism. But one thing you don't call it is a nation of laws. And if you don't have a nation of laws, the only alternative is a nation of men. And the men are going to be strong, and they're going to be the people with guns. And they're going to be the people who aren't going to read you your Miranda rights. 844. Jason, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jason.
Hi, Howie. Happy 4th.
Thanks. Same to you, Jason.
I'm a serviceman. I retired from the military a couple of years ago. I got a little TBI, so I just wrote down what I wanted to say, and if you let me just read it real quick.
Go ahead.
It's not long. I appreciate it, so I don't detract. So why is pretty much why people, white people, want to join BLM, and I believe it's because they're trying to atone for this guilt, that this imaginary guilt that they have, their insecurity or identity crisis. You know, they should be glad that they weren't born in a crime-infested or neighborhood or, you know, under poor conditions. Instead, being grateful because I was a poor kid. I grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut, in a little town called Brooklyn along Route 8, and we didn't have anything. You know, we were poor. But, you know, not one of us kids didn't wish we were born in different circumstances, and I wouldn't be sorry for that if I was. You know, I just feel like America's what you want it to be, you know? Just right. I went in the military, I served 2 tours in Iraq, and, you know, I went through a lot. But I came home from the service, I built a life, and I bought a house on Martha's Vineyard so I could be next to my mother. God bless the liberal woman.
Well, congratulations, Jason, and you know, thank you for your service, and happy Independence Day. And it's just we've just all got to get through this together, and we can't take our eyes off the prize, and the prize is the Constitution and the society that we've inherited from our forebears. Thank you, Jason. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Look at the pictures on TV and on the websites of the situation down at the South Shore Plaza. The suspect appears to have fled into one of the nearby residential areas, and so the problem seems to be under control at the mall. But you know, I'm looking at the photographs, and I see a lot of Braintree police. I see a lot of Mass state troopers. I don't see any social workers. Where are the social workers on scene? 844-500-4242. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300, and with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. That number again, 800-912-2300. Taylor took a slide, so Jared is on the board. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which is the most patriotic song? God Bless America, God Bless the USA, America the Beautiful, Back in the USA, or the Star-Spangled Banner?
Tell me Back in the USA has gone up to 3%.
It has not.
It's
holding steady at 2%.
Okay.
Back in the USA. Star-Spangled Banner is in the lead at 50%.
It's pulling away from
it is.
Back in the USA. Okay, and what's number two?
Number two is God Bless America at 25%. America the Beautiful is at 13%, and God Bless the USA is at 10%.
All right. You know, Lyndon Johnson once said after the Tet Offensive, when you've lost Walter Cronkite, you've lost America, the old CBS anchor man. You know, I think the panic porn purveyors, they may have lost America, because I'm reading a headline, NPR, mounting evidence suggests COVID is not as deadly as thought. You don't say. It took them this long to figure this out? Who would have ever thought this?
Was that mounting or mountain of evidence?
mounting evidence. I got a lot to read here about the coronavirus in this next half hour, the last half hour of the week before our Independence Day weekend. And but we'll take some calls, 844-500-4242. Here's some wise words from C.S. Lewis in 1948, the essayist. Do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. This was on living in an atomic age, but it applies here too. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. Death itself is not a chance at all, but a certainty. That is the first point to be made. And the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by a virus, he said, atom bomb, let that virus, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint in a game of darts. Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about viruses. They may break our bodies, a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. Are you listening, Tal Duvall? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We're going to tweet out that little part of an essay by C.S. Lewis. It's really a good thing to read and reflect on this eve of Independence Day. Incidentally, the Howie Carr VIP experience is back. You get to be part of the live studio audience for the show for the whole 4 hours, along with other deplorables. You also get to meet Grace and Taylor and Jared, have a delicious spread from a local meal, from a local restaurant, I should say. And of course, meet me. That's the real reason you're coming. It's okay. We all know it. Thanks to Charlie Parker. Masks are required to enter the building, but once in the studio, it's free America. It's like South Dakota and Mount Rushmore. No masks required. No fireworks, but no masks required. It's the Howie Carr VIP experience at a reduced price. Go to HowieCarrShow.com, click on the banner, and as Bob Barker would say, come on down. And we've cut the number of people we have every day. It's 3 days a week, and they're only going to be six people, so the tickets are moving fast. So get on board now, HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store and you can get your VIP tickets. Here's another appropriate quote from the past. This is from 1984 by George Orwell. And you heard Tom was talking about how in the Cambodian immigrants or the Cambodian kids after the Khmer Rouge Pol Pot took over. They were told to rat out their parents, and history stopped and was demolished, and a new history was starting. And this is what happened in 1984. George Orwell predicted it, as he predicted so much of what's happened since then. Every book has been rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street and building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. The party is always right. Now, a lot of people bought into the panic when it first started. And one of them was a guy named Matt Vespa. He's a he's an internet columnist, I think, for Red State. And he wrote a funny piece today. The coronavirus lockdowns are over, and these studies really deliver a death blow. And I just like the way he wrote it. And it's kind of a mea culpa. You know, he's saying he was scammed. Some of you knew this was a crock from the get-go. After weeks of being told to stay inside, not be selfish, and prevent medical workers from being overrun, it was suddenly okay to go outside and riot and loot over the officer-involved death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. If these so-called experts could flip like that, then this virus was never a big deal from the start. We went from stay inside and save lives to, what are you doing inside? Go out and protest. Plus, now we find out almost half the deaths are from this virus are from nursing homes. I'm reborn hardcore. The Matt Vespa who supported the lockdowns was evil. He's dead. I'm done with the medical experts. If they didn't know, which is obviously the case, then say so. Don't lock us up, which gave Democrat governors and mayors the ability to arbitrarily enact draconian measures. This is nonsense. And with each passing day, more data shows that this virus is overblown. I couldn't care less about all the new cases the media is peddling in their panic porn addiction. It's over, clowns. Once the nationwide unrest, rioting, and protests were dying down, though, you knew the media was going to pivot and say we had to go back inside. Nope, we're not going back inside. It's become quite clear the medical class who excused the non-social distancing rioting over Floyd is more concerned with their progressive bias than actual advice. In short, the medical experts are now no better than the clowns we see daily on CNN and MSNBC bashing Trump. A team of economists from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology recently published the results of a study that compared various alternative strategies for limiting the spread of COVID-19. They concluded that twice as many lives could have been saved had governments focused their limited resources on protecting the most vulnerable people rather than squandering them on those who seem to face almost no risk, such as children. Are you listening, Tal Duvall? If you're diabetic, fighting cancer, had an organ transplant, or are over the age of 80, maybe you should stay inside. These lockdowns are more destructive than the virus itself, it would seem. Ignore CNN. Ignore the panic porn. And maybe, just maybe, this outbreak wouldn't have been as horrific if people like New York Governor Andrew Cuomo didn't force nursing homes to admit COVID-positive patients. I would throw in Tal Duvall in that category, taking thousands, tens of thousands of dollars from nursing homes and letting his inept, corrupt Department of Health mismanage and not regulate the nursing homes, where 63% of the people who've died in Massachusetts perished. I haven't checked the numbers today, but yesterday 16 people died in Massachusetts, 14 of them in Tal Duvall's death houses. What does that tell you?
Did this just happen?
Yeah, just happened. I'm using your numbers. And yet there's still people out there who think that, people under the age of 50 are dropping like flies, and they're not. There's been, I think, one person under the age of 50 die in the last 3 or 4 days. 844-500-4242. Ray, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, Howie. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I got to tell you this. You got a heck of a police following. I'll tell you, I think you're on every radio and every police cruiser that I know about.
Oh, thank you. Oh, by the way, and incidentally, hold on, Ray. Two suspects are now in custody at the South Shore Plaza. One woman was shot, and they've got two perps. Okay, go ahead, Ray.
Oh, good. Well, I just I'm a retired police, and I just wanted to, somebody just faxed me this thing. It's very short, but it's a salute to the police, and I was hoping you'd just let me take a minute and a half and read it.
Well, make it under a minute. Keep it under a minute, there, Ray.
Okay. Okay. It says, with a broken heart, I will explain this much to you. For the last few days, for the first time in my career, I've questioned my choice of being a police officer. But with pride, I can say I'd do it all over again. This badge. You hate me because I wear a badge. Let me tell you about the badge. This badge ran toward the towers and certain death at 9/11. This badge ran into the line of fire at the Pulse nightclub. This badge protected a BLM rally that led to 5 officers being killed in Dallas. This badge ran into Sandy Hook to stop a school shooter. This badge helps women, blind men and women cross the street because they're afraid to cross. They can't see. This badge has helped an injured dog off the road and rushed to a vet. This badge responds 24 hours a day to your needs. And regardless of whether or not you're black, white, Native American, or whoever, who you are, or what your sexual persuasion, no matter what, we will be there for you. Because we take pride in this badge.
Thank you, Ray. Well put. And I might add that they ran towards the South Shore Plaza tonight when there were reports of an active shooter inside. Thanks, Ray. Happy Independence Day. 781 says, so Howie, is it true that hospitals in Texas and Florida are overrun with new cases? They keep running clips from medical providers saying how they have to pick and choose who to work on. There are so many. You know, the problem in Texas is that they reopen the hospitals for so-called elective surgeries. And so suddenly 3 months worth of pent up demand for surgeries is suddenly going into the hospital, and some of them are going to test positive. And you have much more testing going on. And the fact is that most of the people that are testing positive are young people. They're asymptomatic. They're not going to get sick. It's ridiculous. I'm going to read you another one here. This is another great column. This was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday by a guy named Joseph A. Ladapo. And he is he's an associate professor at the UCLA School of Medicine. And he's talking about how the politicians have and the medical quote unquote experts have squandered their credibility by politicizing this thing. I mean, that's the bottom line here. This is being used to take down Trump and by political partisans who showed their political stripes by excusing the rioting after the George Floyd killing. Political leaders and health officials have often invoked science to justify decisions manifestly guided by their personal preferences. This costs them credibility. Restoring public confidence will require acknowledging their role in politicizing the pandemic. Again, are you listening, Tal Duvall? One of the earliest signs of politicization was the broad animus directed at protesters who objected to the lockdowns. It is remarkable how casually political leaders and health officials disparaged and banned their activities and even targeted protesters for prosecution. Politics was also at play when New York Mayor Bill de Blasio ordered police in Brooklyn to break up a crowd of mourners who gathered for a Hasidic Jewish funeral. Same thing applies to Governor Phil Murphy in New Jersey, warning that their actions were unacceptable and threatening to arrest them. Contrast this with the approach that many of these same political leaders and public health experts took towards the protests catalyzed by George Floyd's killing. Those protesters were neither maligned nor targeted with fines and arrests based on social distancing or mask mandates. They were often joined in the streets by politicians such as L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. And then he also points out that in a free society, you accept that many illnesses spread as a result of personal decisions and behavior. Think HIV, needle exchange programs, cigarettes, e-cigarettes, vaping. But this wisdom hasn't been afforded to the COVID-19 pandemic. There is little accommodation for people who avoid masks because of difficulty breathing, claustrophobia, or the belief that one's face shouldn't be subject to public policing. Some medical ethicists have suggested that if ventilators are in short supply, patients who religiously use masks and adhere to social distancing should receive priority, rationing medical care to punish noncompliance. Can you imagine if you did that during the AIDS epidemic, what would have happened? What would have been said about you? Further corroding public trust was health officials' reversals about wearing masks. In February, they discouraged their use and told people there was no evidence they were effective. Now they mandate them. No wonder many Americans no longer trust the calls to wear masks. If political leaders and health experts want to restore their credibility, they need to begin by acknowledging that politics, and I will add this, anti-Trump politics, basically, rather than science, has influenced important public health decisions. And while there's more to learn about immunity, there has not been a single confirmed case of reinfection among the 10 million cases of COVID-19 worldwide. Until data say otherwise, people who've recovered from COVID-19 should be exempt from restrictions. Risk will continue to be low among young people. Policing of social distancing and restrictions on personal, educational, and business activities of groups that are not at risk is fueling culture wars. Let them enter bars, enjoy the beach, exercise at the gym, and learn in school if they so choose. I'm glad to see that more and more people understand that if it wasn't at the beginning, it's now a crock, basically. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
Order your VIP tickets to The Howie Carr Show. Everybody seems to have a real good time. The price has been cut. Go to HowieCarshow.com, click on store. We have six seats Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the next 8 weeks, and a lot of them have already been sold, so get on board now before we run out. We're going to read you a couple more things here. I just want to get this stuff done before the weekend about as you go about, you can't go to a parade, no fireworks or no official fireworks or fewer. Nothing on the Esplanade, no flyovers, no baseball, no hoop on municipal playgrounds. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This is Scott Moorfield in Town Hall. I'll get to a couple of calls before we finish. We've obviously run the gamut on the universal masking issue, from being told not to wear them at all when the pandemic was at its peak and everybody and their neighbor were crowding and swapping moisture particles in Lowe's and Walmart aisles, to the now almost cult-like lockstop message from politicians, the media, and every other leftist still too frightened to come out of their basement. It's all a farce, of course, absurd theater forced upon us by people who probably believed in witches a few centuries ago. They think if they condescendingly say the words, "I wear the mask to protect you and you wear the mask to protect me," enough, everyone will mindlessly obey. Even with deaths declining, they keep the pot stirred up with their panic porn about spikes and surges in new cases and hospitalizations in southern and western states. Never mind the fact that the so-called surge in hospitalizations in Texas turned out to be, as Fox Medical correspondent Dr. Mark Siegel noted, mostly people getting elective surgeries that had long been delayed due to coronavirus. Had we properly protected those in nursing homes, this means you, Charlie Baker, we could have saved half the people that actually died from this thing. So let us out. What's the alternative? Living with this virus on the prowl for years, even decades, masks forever, endless rotating shutdowns, the end of mass gatherings and sports, and if Democrats win, God forbid, an ever-encroaching police state hell-bent on using this virus, like Charlie Parker does, to torment us and our liberties until their Bolshevik dreams become reality. Fred, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, Howie. I've got a couple of headlines I predict we'll see in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
I want to hear them. How about this one? Even though the death count is down, COVID can still be a dangerous disease.
We've already seen that one, Fred. That's what Fauci says every time he comes out of the bunker. As soon as the cameras turn off, as soon as the red light goes off, he takes off his mask. That's how concerned he is, right?
Oh, I guess you're right. How about another one I think we'll see in the paper? Masks can be important to prevent many types of diseases.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. I haven't seen that one yet, Fred, but you're ahead of the curve on that one, certainly. Yes.
Okay, yeah. I got one more for you. You know, we still might have another wave. It's possible.
Yeah. Trump could be reelected, in which case we'll need a permanent new wave to destroy the economy and keep everybody on edge and up in arms. One woman shot at the South Shore Plaza, two suspects in custody. The emergency is over. Happy Independence Day, everybody. I'm Howie Carr.